Hello and welcome back to the Extended Philosophy Podcast. I'm very happy to be here, and today we are continuing our exploration of Aristotle's ideas on how to live better, more meaningful and satisfying lives. This is all part of a longer journey where we will talk about multiple philosophers and theories of happiness, and we will see how we can apply them to our own lives today. The last part of every episode will be tips on how to use the ideas of the various thinkers in your own life, so stay around for that. If you're new here, it's perhaps a good idea to listen to the previous few episodes, those which are marked Lunchtime Thoughts, because there we already talked about the basics of Aristotle's theory, and it will all make more sense if you begin there to get the whole picture. But in principle, of course, each episode is self-contained, so you can certainly also listen to this one first, if that is what you would like to do. Finally, let me briefly say that there is my web magazine and Substack newsletter, both called Daily Philosophy. You can Google that. There you will find many hundreds of articles written by different authors on questions of how to apply philosophy insights to our daily lives. Over the years, we have discussed happiness, love, the ethics of war, environmental ethics, abortion, and many other topics. If this sounds good, go have a look there or subscribe to the free weekly newsletter. And now let's jump right in. Today, it's all about staying young. I remember a story my father told me about his father, who, when he was 80, just would not understand how to use a tape recorder, one of the newest additions to his household. It wasn't that he could not understand that. He was an educated old gentleman, in touch with the world for most of his life. It was just that he wasn't willing to put in the effort anymore. He didn't see the point of learning to use one of those machines that were of no use to him. I'm sure many of us, as we age, feel in similar ways towards the new shiny things in the world. Online dating, TikTok, complex computer games, or just getting used to new music. It just doesn't seem worth it. The familiar is soothing and provides a sense of security and of being at home, while the new is always unknown and vaguely threatening. But the real threat to our happiness and flourishing might not be the new thing that we don't understand. Instead, it might be our very reluctance itself. If we believe Aristotle, what makes us happy and fulfilled is the constant exercise of our virtues in accordance with our reason, in such a way as to always benefit both ourselves and the people around us. In order to be able to do that, we need two things. We first need a constant stream of new experiences that keep us growing and learning how to become better and better in exercising our virtues. But we also need, second, to keep in touch with people, with whatever the society around us is doing. Someone who departs society in order to become a wise hermit in the mountains does not, for Aristotle, live the most fulfilled life. What they are missing are opportunities to exercise their virtues and to benefit others. Human beings, therefore, are essentially social, and they reach their ultimate fulfillment in interacting with the society around them in virtuous and mutually beneficial ways. And so the problem with not understanding tape recorders, online dating, or TikTok is not that we are missing out on these particular things. It is true that someone who is 50 or 60 and happily married has no need of online dating, and that someone who loves reading and has a house full of books does not need TikTok for entertainment. The real problem here is that the refusal to engage with such things is, at its heart, a refusal to keep growing and changing and adapting to the changing world all around us. Ceasing to accept and process influences from the environment is a definition of death. All organisms take energy and matter from the environment and transform it, digest it, utilize it to produce new forms of energy, and then use this energy in order to further transform their environment. All life is intimately connected with its environment. So much so that no organism could exist without the surrounding world doing what is necessary to keep that organism alive. We breathe the oxygen produced by plants and convert it into carbon dioxide that will go back into the great carbon cycle to enable the production of more plants. Insects pollinate the plants that we need to eat. The remains of our food, but also our bodies themselves, will someday be broken down by insects and bacteria in the soil in order to produce new life. But this process does not stop at the level of matter. All life is also responsive to information. And living things process inputs in order to generate suitable outputs, which, in turn, provide information inputs to other systems. As members of society, we are all part of a great conversation that is not different at all from the way organisms exchange and process matter in the carbon or in the nitrogen cycle. We create memes, knowledge, beliefs, ideas, fantasies, errors, lies, and communicated feelings. And we exchange these freely with other members of our societies who will process these inputs, digest them, and come up with more memes, with more knowledge, more beliefs, ideas, fantasies, errors, lies, and emotions to pass on to others. Just now, you're listening to the ideas of someone from 2,500 years ago who wrote a book that others read and translated and commented upon until some of these translations and comments reached me, and I added my own interpretation and ideas to all that, and now I'm passing it on to you. And tomorrow you might tell a friend about it, and they might go and tell someone else, and so this great conversation is never ending, always feeding and growing on whatever we contribute to it. Staying engaged is not a matter of age. Some people retreat into comfortable numbness at 30, refusing to acknowledge anything other than what they already know and believe that they can control. Others might be 80 but still learn new things every day, visiting yoga and computer programming classes and learning to cope with a changing universe. And my grandfather, with his refusal to understand tape recorders, he had left the conversation. In a way, refusing to be part of that big exchange of ideas is as much a sign of death as not participating in the carbon or the nitrogen cycle as a living being. This week we want to concentrate on our ability to stay mentally alive and alert by staying in the flow of things. As comfortable as it is to retreat from the things that change all around us, not accepting change is a kind of death of the soul. If you think about it, so are excessive and expensive possessions. Mere things don't develop, don't grow, and they generally resist change. When you buy an expensive house in a good neighborhood, then you won't accept that neighborhoods change over the years. Perhaps new people move in or around. Perhaps a new scene of young people takes over with night parties and loud music. Perhaps the nice park around the corner is demolished to make way for something new, something you did not subscribe to. But in all change, there is also chance. If we let go of our old ideas about how things should be, we can more easily embrace the new. Perhaps these young people are better neighbors than the old guy who was always terrorizing us with his lawnmower. Perhaps the park will be replaced with a children's playground or a cultural center. Perhaps the neighborhood will be less expensive but more friendly and alive, and we can make new friends and experiences now that would have been impossible in the past, always increasing our own phronesis, which for Aristotle is our ability to be good and productive in the world, rather than retreat from it in bitterness and silence. Let's this week then examine our own reactions to change. Have I kept up with what the younger people are doing? Am I still able to use the right slang? Google, for example, Guardian Slang Quiz and take some of the quizzes that will come up. How about changes in my town? Do I know the new shops that have sprung up over the past year? Do I know what music is in now? Have I watched at least one episode of the new TV show everyone is talking about? In my work, have I been following what the fashion is now? Is there a new presentation software, a new way of doing my job, a new productivity maxim that everyone is following? The point here is not to embrace every fad, of course, but in order to be able to rationally reject something, we must get to know it first. One cannot reject ChatGPT, for example, without knowing what it can do. One cannot reject even internet dating without a good idea of what it is about. This does not mean that one needs to actually use a dating app. It might be enough to read about a few other people's experiences in a good article. Aristotle does not insist that every possible thing must be experienced in person. Education and friendships with others are equally valid ways of obtaining phronesis, practical wisdom. But in the end, we must obtain that wisdom in one way or another. Closing our eyes and hoping that the new world will go away is not a solution that is likely to improve us as human beings and to allow us to flourish and to be truly happy. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe and see you next week. Bye-bye.